The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
John Cadell is tonight joined by Dave Hanratty for our weekly music spot. And Dave, tell us about this South by Southwest festival in Texas and the Irish stand that has been made by several acts.
Yeah, the Irish stand is to sit this one out, absolutely. Pretty much every band now, I believe, as of us going on the air, has in fact pulled out. We're talking about acts like Soda Blonde, Sprints, Gavin James, Mick Flannery. It all kind of started with Kneecap. They were the first domino to fall here. They put out a statement at the start of the week saying that due to the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, which I should say real quick is it's a great place for bands to go. And it costs a lot of money to go there as well for Irish acts as well, even ones who are subsidized. Because of the festival's sponsorship links to US weapons manufacturers and the ongoing situation in Gaza,
Why are weapons manufacturers sponsoring a music festival?
It's a good question. It's kind of one of those all over festivals. There are films being screened. There's tech talks. It's more than just music. But for a very long time, it is largely associated with a certain kind of hipster person like myself as being a great place to go and see great live music. And Irish bands have been going there for years. It's kind of a thing that bands dream of doing. So this is not a decision that anyone has taken lightly. Like I say, Kneecap were the first domino to fall. They put out a statement saying we're not going for those reasons. And one by one, every other Irish act that was going is now not participating.
And yet, John Cadell, the Minister for RTE, who is also the Minister for the Arts and Tourism, various things, has issued a press statement in the last couple of hours saying she's attending and she's speaking at it.
Yeah, and that's her prerogative, I guess. I mean, if you took against every institution that has dodgy ties to things that you don't agree with, you'd never end up going to anything. Having said that, though, I do sympathise with the Irish artists because it's hard enough to make a living out of music, but having to put all that finance into something that you then feel morally obliged not to attend, that's going to hurt.
So it's harder for them to pull out than it is for her to stay in.
Well, I think people from their artists, they probably expect them to be on the right side of history all the time, whereas politicians don't have that luxury, in that politicians have to deal, by and large, and I'm not speaking as anybody who knows anything about politics, as you well know, Matt, by and large, they have to talk to people in a room that they don't necessarily want to talk to and be in situations that, given the choice, they probably would rather not. So maybe it is easier for the artists because their moral obligation, they probably have the luxury of having something of a moral obligation not to go.
And there could be a backlash against the Irish government, maybe, Dave, if it wasn't to take part in this, that while bands can decide to take a stand, that if the Irish government takes a similar stand, we could see that various Israeli-backed companies in the United States might think poorly of Ireland for doing so.
Yeah, it's a reasonable argument. And as well, but you're going to have the defence, like Catherine Martin will say, like, you know, it's for international relations, it's diplomacy, it's a different world, even though music itself, of course, is inherently political. A lot of these acts are, particularly Kneecap, you think of them. Lancome aren't going, but of course they won the Choice Prize last week and used the entirety of their winning speech to talk exclusively about what's going on in Palestine and kind of raise support there. Leo Varadkar, of course, is currently over in the US on the St. Patrick's Week. John,
just chatting about that with Callum Marion,
which was hugely criticised, but he's already kind of made some strong statements about Gaza, and you hope that he will continue. So it's a rare kind of potential unification there from people he probably won't vote for anyway. But I applaud the acts for doing this. It's not an easy decision, especially financially. And like, if you're a fan of any of these acts whatsoever, now is the time to go and buy merch and buy a vinyl or something and try and support them, because there's a lot of money to make up. I should say,
as well, sorry, I wonder as well, would it hurt them with future bookings around the United States as well?
Well, it's a gamble. Yeah,
you've read my mind there, because like, it has, like, Music from Ireland, who are kind of, you know, sponsoring this to some degree, have come out and said that it won't affect future bookings in terms of working with them, and they will try and get them back there, or, you know, at another date perhaps. There could very well be some venue promoters who will look at that and say absolutely not, but at the same time, I'm sure there'll be plenty, just as many, who will say no, we really like respect what you guys have done here. You've really kind of taken a stance here, and we'd love to host you someday. But just the logistics and the cost and actually going there and doing this is no easy decision for every act who's done it. And like I say, I absolutely stand by what they've done.
Okay, let's move on to other things. John, tell me about what should have been a highly embarrassing moment for Madonna.
Yeah, this is very unfortunate. Madonna, she was performing as part of her world tour and saw that somebody in the audience, while everyone else was standing, had remained seated. So she went up to the individual and she said, "Take this ride with me. what are you doing sitting down over there? And the concert goer was confined to a wheelchair, to which Madonna, upon realising, went, OK, politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here. Look, it's just a mistake. People will make a big deal about it. But Madonna, you know, she's on stage. She's not going to immediately see.
No, but it's not compulsory that if you're at an event anyway, no, is it, that you have to get up and dance when Madonna orders you to do so, is it?
It's not, but like by and large, you know, bands will say, let me see your hands, put your hands in the air, get up off your seats and start dancing. You know, it's one of those concerts.
You encourage them though, you don't order them.
Yeah, mandatory audience participation.
Yeah.
And I feel so sorry for the person in question here, because this of course has hit social media and been viewed millions of times.
2.5 million times so far.
And probably more, like even since then. I mean, I hope the fan is okay. But I mean, like you think about, you go to these shows for escapism and like maybe you're kind of socially conscious. I mean, I remember going to a Drake gig years ago and I was sitting kind of in the review seats, I'll be honest. And there was a seat next to me that was empty and remained empty the entire show. And I was staring down the barrel of this thing and I was like, he's going to like highlight this, isn't he? A spotlight will come on me, and how will I possibly explain this? Some people live in fear of being singled out at a live concert, and I feel so bad for everyone involved here. It's an honest mistake. It was kind of an Alan Partridge-esque response by Madonna in the moment, but yeah, just think about the person next time that you're picking out from the crowd. Some are extroverts and some aren't, you know?
Okay, announcements of gigs coming around. I have to say I am very pleased to hear that the Black Keys are coming to Dublin in early May. I have already know I will be on getting my tickets first thing Friday morning for myself and one of my daughters.
Yeah.
And they haven't been in Ireland for ages, have they?
They haven't been here for a while, but they're touting a new album, and the first couple of songs that I've heard from it are particularly good. The current single is Beautiful People Stay High, which is just an absolute jam. It's absolutely fantastic. They're playing in the Three Arena on, is it?
3rd of May.
3rd of May, yeah. The album's called Ohio Players, which I think, Dave, was the name of a 70s funk band, am I right?
Don't ask me.
I think so. So, you know, given from what I've heard, they did bring the funk this time, so it's more than just a homage, I think. But they're a band who have had a couple of career high points and then they sort of go and do weird stuff and then they come back and they do great stuff. So they're a bit inconsistent, but always a band that I'd be interested in anyway.
Yeah, well, at least they try things.
Well, that's it. They do. They don't stick to any sort of formula. And the last couple of things they did were a bit poor. But, you know, this it looks like they're really back with a bang with this one now.
Okay, and tell us a little bit, please, Dave, about the acts announced for the All Together Now festival.
Yeah, there have been a few. There were some initial announcements. I mean, we've got the National in there because, again, a year will not pass in this country without a National gig. And I say that as a fan of the National. Future Islands, similar deal. They're both here as well. Georgia Smith, Barry Can't Swim, I think they were the initial grouping of announcements.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Georgia Smith because we haven't played any music yet. Let's hear just a clip from Blue Lights.
Don't you run when you hear the sirens.
Georgia Smith, which part of All Together Now, which of course is in the Corrochmore estate, isn't it, down in Waterford?
Yeah, August 1st to the 4th. Natasha Bedingfield will be there. The press release noted that she will take to the stage to perform her noughties classic anthem, Unwritten. You'd hope that she'll perform more than just the one song. I guess that remains to be seen. The Mary Wallopers will be there as well. We talked before on the show, of course, about Roisin Murphy, and we wondered like what knock-on effect the recent controversy she was involved in having in her career. No problem, it seems, with this. She will be at the festival, as will Paul Kalkbrenner, Slow Down, Marrowby State, and loads more besides.
Okay, and what else do we have coming up? What's going on? SZA for Malahide Castle?
SZA.
Is that what it is?
Brilliant.
Okay, great. SZA is what's down in front of me. There you go.
It's pronounced SZA, old man.
Excellent.
Yeah, she is playing in Malahide Castle and Gardens on the 3rd of July. She was here in the Three Arena last September, I think. And she, like, phenomenal show. She is a great artist, is old SZA.
Is it SZA or SZA? No, which is it?
It's SZA.
Here's a bit of Kill Bill. At least I can pronounce that.
I'm so mature, I'm so mature, I got me a therapist to tell.
Okay, picks of the week. What have you got for us, Dave?
I've got one of my favorite bands. They're called Overhead the Albatross. They are a four-piece instrumental outfit. They specialize in post-rock. They've been around for some time. Took a long hiatus, but they're coming back with their second album in May. They've released a new track called Your Last Breath, and it's one that kind of deals with the complicated thing about life and how, you know, like love and loss and grief and birth and all that kind of stuff. There's an exceptional spoken word section in this one. It really spoke to me quite emotionally. They're one of the greatest bands I know. Once again, they're called Overhead the Albatross, and this song is called Your Last Breath.
Your heart, your eyes, your teeth, my soul is stretched. I'll never again be that person. I'll never again know that person. I hope one day I'm not playing pretend. I hope one day our eyes will meet in the sand, the clouds, or the stars. I hope one day I can look at death and understand it is nothing but a step. I hope one day I can inhale your last breath and feel it in my chest. For though you're gone and I'm left and lost, millions of molecules combusted in your lungs, and with your last act exploded into being, escaped your lips and circled the room, ran up against the walls and smashed one another. And as your heart ceased and the nerves burst in, those particles of breath were sucked into the water of the double doors running for their freedom, departing the building and scattering through the streets, where they dodged through traffic and danced through fields, soaring through trees, landing on the shore and surfing across the waves, streaming through mountains.
Okay, that's Overhead the Albatross and Your Last Breath. What's your pick of the week, John?
Well, this album, it's a reissue, believe it or not, Matt.
You've got a reissue,
haven't
you?
I have, yeah, for once. And it's an album that certainly when I was younger, everyone I know seemed to have it. Even people who weren't that into music had this album. It's Moon Safari. It's been reissued as a 2-CD and Blu-ray set. So it's got Dolby Atmos mix. And for nerds like me, that is the main draw, because the sound of this album in the first place is phenomenal. So what is going to sound like in Dolby Atmos, I am looking forward to hearing. It's also got a second disc of rarities, and they're playing the album in full in Trinity College this summer.
That's Air.
Yeah, it's Air. And the track we're going to play is Remember, which nerds will be delighted to know samples the drums from the Beach Boys song Do It Again. Big hits from it were Kelly Watched the Stars and Sexy Boy, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about some people who've died. Carl Wallinger, World Party.
Yeah, like this was this was kind of a sad another one during the week that I guess, John, we were talking about this kind of in the office there, and
yeah,
you were noting that actually, like, there is an association here, an obvious association, but it goes a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, and like another person who died today is Eric Carmen.
I know, let's talk about Carl Wallinger for a little bit.
No, what I want to say is that these are two people who may not, you know, they may not have their names up in lights, but what they did is far more than a lot of people may realise. Carl Wallinger, for example, was a member of the Waterboys between 1983 and 85 and appeared on the album This Is the Sea. He also was the frontman of World Party. He wrote that, you know, Message in the Box?
Yeah,
he wrote that. And he also wrote...
And Ship of Fools.
Ship of Fools, but he also wrote She's the One, the song that was a massive hit for Robbie Williams. That was a World Party
song.
Did
not know
that. There you go. He wrote that. And I knew he had been ill for the last little while, but I think it sort of came out of the blue that he seemed to pass quite suddenly last night. Obviously, Mike Scott from the Waterboys has sent condolences and shock at a passing. But yeah, he's one of those guys, not that he flew under the radar, but never really sort of got the recognition that he maybe deserved, much like Eric Carmen, who also passed away today, who you may know as the writer with Rachmaninoff of the All By Myself. You know that song?
No.
Incredibly emotional, powerful, All By Myself.
Celine Dion covered it. You do know it.
Yeah, everyone knows
it. Ah, you know it, Matt.
I'm tempted to sing, but I'm not a good singer.
So. Did you ever see Dirty Dancing?
No.
He wrote Hungry Eyes, Jesus.
You've never seen Dirty Dancing?
No.
It's a classic.
I'm told it is. It's one of those sort of movies, that and Top Gun and a few others, that I sort of disdained and have never turned around to watching.
It's time. It's time anyway, to shake that off now.
He was in a power pop band called The Raspberries. So just, I wanted to highlight these two guys passing because, as I said, you know, they're not the superstars that, you know, we often make a fuss of when they pass away. But, you know, two guys who really did make a massive impact on the
this listener here says Air, overrated vocoder dross.
Oh, come on. The Daft Punk fan, that's overrated vocoder dross.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'll say it.
You don't like Daft Punk?
Had their moment and kind of stretched it out too long. That most the last album that everyone loves, Random Access Memories, garbage. Absolute garbage.
I can't speak to that at all.
Why not?
I'll be like the two Daft Punk robots. I'm going to just stay stum.
You're afraid of offending people?
Not that's not afraid like of you. Offending people. No, I think Daft Punk were incredible. Absolutely incredible.
In their day, yeah, for a time.
Come on, Random Access Memories.
Awful.
Why?
Disco nonsense. Just
what?
Nonsense.
It's an homage to disco more than anything.
That is not an excuse.
So when did they get poor?
Third album.
Which was Homework, was it?
Yes. Human After All.
Human After All. Okay. Well, I don't agree. I think, like, I saw them in...
Live, they're unbelievable.
Well, what, pushing buttons. But I saw the two of them behind a deck pushing buttons at, I think it was Oxygen in 2007. And I know it wasn't live mixing, but they were absolutely incredible.
Will the two of you get a room and continue your argument, will you? Because we're out of time here. Linda O'Donnell is our competition winner tonight, who wins the tickets for the Aer Lingus College's Football Classic and goes into Friday night's draw for that big prize to go to Tallahassee in the United States. And we have a listener who texts in, Random Access Memories is a fantastic album. Another one says, Matt, stay strong. Don't watch Dirty Dancing. It's about Patrick Swayze creeping on a teenage girl.
Look, he was a movie star. It was a different time. And that film opens up with Be My Baby Brother Annette, which might be the greatest song of all time.
Man, that film was made in the 50s.
We have to finish. Thank you to both of you and to my production team led by Liz O'Neill, Dermot Doyle, Orla Kearney, Evian Meehan and Stephen McClune on sound.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.